50 years that we have had the privilege and honor of serving our God. We have come here this morning to, as an assignment, we believe it's an assignment from the Lord to encourage each of you that as we share what has transpired in our lives and our BCC, that the kingdom life is available to you if you really want it. It's available to you. You can rise above your daily stuff and get on a journey, a kingdom journey. It can only end up in one good place, victory. Throughout the years, Pastor Karen and I have had a deep and penetrating desire, will, and zeal to experience all that the Lord has and continues to have for our lives. Have a zeal. That's what's driven us, the zeal to know God and to experience Him in every aspect, in the defeat, in victory, when we abound or when we are abased. We must experience the goodness of God. We have experienced powerful encounters, and I just want to say this, I could keep you here all day, because the encounters and experiences we've had with God and the supernatural hand of God has been since day one of our regeneration. And so it's been very powerful. But we've experienced encounters and have encounters with the Lord. We've been in revivals, bona fide revivals, not something that's happening, then we put revival on it. We've had actually experienced bona fide revivals. We've heard the voice of God both audibly and internally. We've experienced signs and wonders and miracles and have been touched by the fire of God. And all that, I say this, is available to everyone, those online and those sitting here, available if you really want to run after God. So today, we're the elders sitting at the gate telling stories of the kingdom of God. I'm going to read four scriptures. I'm not going to narrate on them. I will resist that. And as Psalms 37:23. I ask that you would keep these scriptures in mind as we share our testimony. Psalms 37:23 is the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Proverbs 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Romans 8:29-30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these that he have called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he is glorified. We hope you see that in our testimony. And the last one certainly is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, he also will bring it to pass.
So it was 50 years ago, July 25th, 1971, when God, by his Spirit, captured and regenerated both Pastor Al and I simultaneously, when his presence and power fell upon us at a Sunday worship service in a Reformed Presbyterian church in the Rome, New York area. Well, there's a whole story about how we got to that church in the Rome, New York area, but I'm not going to share it this right now, this morning. It'll be another time. Some of you have heard it, but not this morning. And also, at that time, we were had been married then 7 years. Okay, So how did we get to this particular encounter with the Lord? We were both introduced to church life by our parents as babes. One was Episcopal and the other was Lutheran. Pastor Al knew that Jesus had a hand on him during his evening prayer times when he was around 10 years old. And he also served as an altar boy at church. For me, my first acknowledgement of Jesus was when I was 5 years old, and I sang Jesus Loves Me all by myself at a Sunday worship service. To me, it was more than a song. I was declaring, Jesus loves me, this I know. We were married in June of 1964. We began to attend together the Lutheran Church. And then we went to the Episcopal Church for a while. And then we stopped attending any church at all. This was due to ministry situations in both churches that affected our walk with the Lord dramatically. So on July 25, 1971, God, by His Spirit, made sure that we would stop going the wrong way. So at that church in New York, at the end of the service, it was just a normal service, worship, announcements, and the word preached. And the two of us were holding hands at the end of the service and went to stand up together. And the next thing we knew, we were both powerfully pushed back into the pew, into our seats. We looked at each other, trying, what is going on? Then as we walked out, the custom at that time is the pastor always greeted people as they left. And out of my mouth came to him, I don't know what happened. I feel like I've been in a washing machine, and I am clean inside and out. After this encounter, we found out that there was a Reformed Presbyterian church in the area that we lived. It's in Manchester, Connecticut. We lived in Tolland, Connecticut at the time. And we started attending there, and we went for about 2 years. And Pastor George Smith and his wife, Marty, brought a biblical foundation again into our lives under their discipleship of us. They were always watching over us when we were in attendance there. I'd like to share with you from Scripture about where in Scripture does it talk about being regenerated. It's in that famous book in the New Testament called Titus. It's after 2 Timothy and before Philemon, the other famous book. Okay, I'm going to read chapter 3. The whole section, verse 1 through 11. Okay. This was Paul writing to Titus. And Titus was given charge of all the believers in Crete. Remind them being the believers, to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. And when the kindness of God, our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. In verses 4 through 7, we're told that when the kindness of God and his love came, it was, and by his mercy, he saved us. And two things that the Holy Spirit does, it's by the washing of regeneration. This is a quote from Hayford's Bible Handbook. Regeneration, an act of God through the Holy Spirit, resulting in an inner personal resurrection from sin to a new life in Jesus Christ. The thing that the Holy Spirit does is renewing. Renewing, again, this is a quote from Hayford's Bible Handbook, is a renovation, a restoration, a transformation, and a change of heart and life. This is what happened to us on July 25th, 1971, 50 years ago.
Hallelujah. I hope that you hear what the word of the Lord is. God has done in every one of our lives. And if we understand as we share some things with you, that when God does something as permanent, we make it impermanent. But when God does it, it's permanent. When he washed you, it was permanent. So during that time, we were self-employed and God gave, and we were doing really well as a businessman, just built a custom-built home, and all of a sudden things started going awry. And we're, as I said, we were self-employed. So I asked the Lord one day, a little frustrated, you ever get frustrated with God? I was young then, I didn't know better. And I said to the Lord, what do you want from us? I'm doing everything you want me to do, what do you want from us? And he spoke very strongly. In fact, to this day, I believe it was an audible voice of God. And he said to me, move to Charlottesville, Virginia. That was it. And so I went down the other end of the house, and I saw Pastor Karen. I says, God just told us to move to Charlottesville, Virginia, I think. Bottom line is, the next weekend, I'm going to move on because we've got a lot to do. But the next weekend, we drove to Charlottesville, Virginia, just to check it out, and we didn't like what we saw, so we came home. Upon returning to Connecticut, I threw a fleece, and those of you who do not know a fleece, I threw a thing out at God. Okay, if you do this, all right, well, I'll go to Virginia. And so I threw a fleece out. We just had a brand new custom-built home. Hadn't even finished the landscaping yet. And so I presented a lease. I said, God, if you'll sell this house in 30 days and over list price, no negotiation, cash, I'll move to Virginia. And it was a week later, a young man came through, and I was a little insulted because there's no way he could afford that house. But to make it short, 2 weeks later, he brought his daddy back with the cash. And 30 days later, roughly 30 days later, we were sitting in Charlottesville, Virginia. At that point, I thought we were going to be, and you could throw that photo up there, just, you don't have to put it up there, keep it up there, but that's what we looked like when we made that decision. I had long hair and I, amen, thank you, Ruth. And so what we did is that we moved to Virginia, and we lived in a beautiful home there. We rented a house. And God's forming and molding hand started to work on this egotistical, arrogant, and strong-minded Christian businessman. And trust me, I was all three of those. Within 1 year, we had lost everything, about everything we owned. We were in major debt, thousands and thousands of dollars. Everything I did in business that succeeded in New England failed in Virginia. Amen. No place to live. We were facing no money to pay rent. Anybody ever been there? Okay. And I had no employment. I went on 26 interviews. I couldn't buy an interview. And finally, we started from that point on. We started experiencing, amen, and starting experiencing a living a life of faith. Pastor Mark was talking about faith. Everything in our lives, good, bad, or indifferent, is to build a godly faith that we may become into the image of Jesus. So we started living a life of faith, and we still exist today, filled with miracles, wonders, signs from the Lord. We live a miracle life. We are miracles. Amen? And so during that time, we learned to exist. My father, when I was raised, he said, son, never live from hand to mouth. You will never be go anything or do anything. And what he was talking about is never live from man's hand to your mouth. Your supply doesn't come from man. I didn't understand that. And then in the dips of despair, crying out to God because we'd lost everything. We were sitting there. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't question God. We just want to know where we're going. And by during that year, my wife had a revelation of the Lord. God really spoke to her. She says, what's going on? And for 1 year, the only thing he said to my wife was, trust me. That's all, 1 year. And she saw her husband totally devastated, built back up, and put on the course that God destined when he was birthed. And so I said, I live with that, my dad. My dad was a powerful man, and God says, as of right now, son, as of I'm saying this to you, you will now live from hand to mouth. That was opposite of what my earthly father said. But my heavenly father said, you will live from hand to mouth. You will live from my eternal hand to your mouth, and you'll never want again. Give me a couple of quickies. I can give you. When we were down there and we lost everything, I had a Cadillac. We paid it off in advance. It was $392. And so in the depths of, we had nothing. We eaten peanut butter, quite frankly. But we were praising God. And a check in the mail came for $392. It was from National Bank. I called National Bank up and says, what is this? He says, well, you overpaid your car payment. I says, no, I didn't. He says, yes, you did, by 2 months. And I said, okay, you know, this is not true. She said, well, let me check. So they didn't call me back. So I called them back. I'm not going to cash a check that's not mine. I don't care how bad off we were. And so they called back. Long story short, after about a week, I called back up. And I said, would you please tell me what's going on with this $392 check? She's all right, give me the number of the check. So I spelled it out. And she says, sir, that isn't any one of our numbers. It can't be. And I heard, I had a tap on my shoulder. And this was the first time that I walked with grace. He says, won't you even accept my grace? I cashed a check and never looked back. Another time we were in one of our houses and we were really out of food. And we just put it before the Lord. We're going to church. We went to church. Nobody knew. We are not ones that wear our troubles on our shoulders. We just, you know, put a confidence in our faith and walk with the Lord. And so one day we really didn't have any food. We came back home. No one knew this church except God. And we had 4 bags of groceries sitting on our front step. Not only were they bags of groceries, but they would be the brands of exactly what we would have bought if we went to the store. Another one quickly is talking about the miracle. By the way, when we did all this, we had 2 German shepherds. That was a trip. And anyways, we were playing with a dog, and one of them bit me right down to my bone. I can show you the scar. Still have it. And we had Bible study that night. We had no money, no insurance, no nothing. So the only thing we need to do is, guess what? Karen laid her hands on me and prayed, and by the next morning, my wrist looks exactly like it does right now. So I want to tell you, as we go forward, God sovereignly supplied all our needs. And when we were without a house, he supplied a house for us. And it was gorgeous. And in the next 7 years, we had 7 houses in 8 years. We moved every year because we were renting houses. And right away, we had no one helping us load the truck. We did it ourselves every single time. Never complained, because it's what God called us to be. We attended Middle Presbyterian Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. At the time, they had renewal, and we showed up. We were on fire for Jesus. We were just on fire for Jesus. They didn't know what hit that church when we walked in there. And I had that red jacket on, too. Then we were involved in a Christian, and we got involved in that church, and the pastor just pulled us in. I mean, just pulled us. If I was pastor, I wouldn't have pulled us in the way he did, because he didn't know anything about us. And he made us the head of the prayer for the rest of the retreat. And that wasn't too longer. We were head of the education. And so the first thing we did is change it from Presbyterian-centered education to Christ-centered. And so we were there, and we saw a move of God. And during that time, I'll get ahead of myself here. During that time, we were in our house, and Pastor Karen, I won't give you all the details of it, but anyways, I heard a strange noise upstairs in our house. It was a 3-layer house. I heard a strange noise. I said, "What on earth is that?" And my 2 German shepherds shot off the couch and ran upstairs, because it was a hollowing noise that we have never heard before. Amen? And here's my wife upstairs. I will stay. It's all right. Taking a bath. Okay? Hands raised, speaking in tongues. And I said, what on earth is going on here? Just a short time later, I was laying in bed at night, and all of a sudden, Holy Spirit came. And I started speaking in tongues. In fact, you have to know what we're going through, is because we had to go to a bookstore to find out what just happened to us. Nobody knew it. We had to go buy a book to read. It was called The Tongues of Fire. Amen. While living in Charlottesville, Virginia, both Pastor Karen and I were baptized sovereignly in the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't sought after. It just came and hit us the same as it did the day he regenerated us. He fell on us. And finally, I got a job selling cars. Amen. Miracle after miracle. Did very well at that. Now, during that time, God directed us to, and this is the unique thing, God directed us to a Spirit-filled Christian fellowship in Greenwood, Virginia. They had 4 elders who pastored the church. All of them kicked out of their churches because they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. So we had 4 rejected elders that used to pastor somewhere else. And they were full of the Holy Ghost. And in their church, as I said, as they started speaking in tongues, they were asked to leave their church and pulpits. This was during the height of the charismatic movement. The leader or elder or pastor was a prophet known throughout all the world. He traveled the world. Amen. And that day, one day I was in a church service and I saw an image, and God says, pointed like that. And he said, "To like that kind, I will make you." And that's when my prophetic journey started. We learned to live and walk in the Spirit and exposed to ministry from all around the world. We were water baptized in September of 1974 in a very, 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 very cold pond. My new man came up out of that pond because they couldn't stand the coldness anymore, left the old one there. And it was a fellowship, and at that fellowship, a mantle was put on Pastor Karen and I. It was a miracle. It was a mantle. It fell on us. We didn't ask for it. We didn't seek for it. Maybe we all should stop asking and just seek God for what he has in our life, and it will just fall on us. During this time, God directed us to this church. Amen. A brief description. This church was in the Maxwell House summer house they bought. It was a huge mansion, and our sanctuary was the ballroom. It sat 400 people. You went to church there, you did not know what time you were leaving. Because sometimes services, the Holy Ghost would fall, and we would just sit there. We had one piano player, that's who led worship. And because at that time they didn't have all the bands and all that. And he just would lead us into worship, and we might be there 3 hours singing in the Lord, not a man-made song, singing in the Spirit. And so that was our basis of what we had. And it was, I wish I could have more time to share it, and maybe sometimes we'll just sit with you and share it. But photo number two is what we looked like at Oak Lee, which was called the Fellowship. Amen. And we were very happy there. It was spirit-filled and was driven, and God started to really use us. Amen. And so we were in Virginia for 8 years, and God spoke to us to go back to New England. And upon being released from the elders, we returned to New England with a mantle and a laying on of hands. Go to New England and declare revival. And I've been doing that since 1980. Faithful is he who hears the voice of God, does what he's told, and not look for the results. So we're leaving Virginia, and we came back to Connecticut. I obtained a job in the western part of the state, amen, where I told God I did not want to move. Looked everywhere else, looked in New Hampshire, looked on this, on the eastern side. I did not want to go to the western part of the state. I got a job. It was from a fellow that I used to work for a long time ago. I didn't have to interview because it was a headhunter, an employment thing. And I walked in the office, and says, "You're hired." And that was after 8 years of not seeing me. And I was really excited because we went 3 months without any income. So we said, "Okay, Lord, something's going to happen here." Amen. And then he said to me, "There's only one hitch. I'm opening an office in Fairfield, Connecticut, so you're going to have to move to the western side of Connecticut." Little did we know that in the western side of Connecticut was sitting a church called Rock Church, and a pastor called John DeCarmo. And they were waiting for us. We weren't waiting for them, but they were waiting for us. In fact, they really weren't in existence all that much, of a brand new church. And so we moved, and we ended up, not knowingly, being a part of Rock Church. We didn't look for it, we just ended up finding it. In fact, I'll tell you quickly how it has. I called up there to find out what their doctrine was, and I got the bass guitar player. And I says, "Can you give me a little bit of information about your church? What's your doctrine?" And he says, "I don't know about all that stuff. I just know we love Jesus, and we got the power of the Holy Ghost here. Why don't you come and visit us?" We did. And we're still visiting. Upon leaving Virginia, I asked the Lord, I said, "God, why did I have to sell cars?" Because you understand the way I was raised, car salesmen do not have very high esteem, probably doesn't have high esteem in many of your lives. And I said, after all these years, I was very successful, I was good at doing what I was doing. And I said, "God, why did you have me sell cars? You know I don't like to sell cars." And he says, "Son," he says, "from this time forward, you'll never judge another person by what they do, but you will judge them by who they are in me." I spent years in misery learning a lesson. Don't judge a person by what they do, but look at the contents of their heart and understand that they're people. Amen. One day my pastor called me. I was in my office, and he said, I want you to come up and visit me this afternoon. I have a proposal for you. And I really wanted to be in ministry so bad. So I drove up to the thing, and he said, you got a call from CBN. I mean, you know what CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. And Pat Robinson, they want you to come for an interview. And I said, interview for what? And they said, they're creating a prophetic team. They're looking for 7 prophets to travel the nation and to empower the church. And that we did. I went down, I got an interview. I was hired as a regional director of Pat Robinson's Freedom Council. And I spent 2 years traveling around this nation and preaching at every church you could think of, teaching Christian history and rallying the church around. And it was a very awesome, awesome time. Don't ever discount what God has for you. If it doesn't look like what you're asking for, step through the door, because stepping through the door might lead to what you're asking for. Photo number 3, and we'll move on. Okay. During our tenure at Rock Church, 1986-89, I said I wanted to be in the ministry so bad I kept on pushing. And one day, I got to say this quickly, but one day we had a conference and there was a prophet there. And the prophet after church, I was miserable. I was going to leave the church. I wanted to be in ministry. Nobody was hearing me. Nobody was promoting me. And so I had made a decision, I didn't tell Karen, that I think we're going to leave and go look for some place that I can do something, make my own way instead of God's. And Pastor DeCarmel says, this prophet, he was a prophet. By the way, some of you might know the name Val Melendez. And so I went anyways, he said, he wants to see you 2:00 this afternoon at my house. So, oh, ministry. So I got there, there was nobody around. Just a dog, and sitting in the center of a basketball post with Val Melendez, and I walked up. He says, "Sit down, boy." He was black. I love that man. And he proceeded to tell me exactly my conversation I had with God the night before. Now, beloved, I want to hear you hear me, because he was telling me exactly, including the gestures that I said to God. Do you think he had my attention? And he said to me, what's the most important instrument in an orchestra? Well, it's first fiddle. No, it's second fiddle. Second fiddle supports everything the first is going to do. He says, this time you stay at this church, boy, because you're getting ready to leave. In fact, you made a decision to leave already. Are you hearing me? The prophet speaks here. Bottom line is, I heard that prophet. He scared me half to death. Okay? And we stayed at that church. I started cleaning the bathrooms. And then we became an officer and trustee. Then I became a leader of small groups, the principal of a K-12 school, and ended up assistant pastor. All because I heard a voice say, stay where you're planted until God roots you up. Pastor Karen was church secretary, head of children's ministry leader, and part of women's ministry. God unfeathered our nest at this great church. In fact, we had a prophecy that God was going to combine Pastor Carmel's my hand forever. Well, he has. He's still my pastor all these years later. But we had a situation at church that separated us from Rock Church for a minute, for a while. We said, where are we going to go? And that's when the Lord said, start a church. So I called Bishop Geminis and talked to him. And he says, go. I can't support you, but just go. You feel God telling you to do something, step out in faith, boy. And so God spoke to us. And I want you to know that the wonderful fellowship that just didn't happen without, this fellowship just didn't happen without history. Please learn your history. Because if you don't know your history, you won't have the substance to stand the growth that's going to come into this church. And trust me, it's coming. And so this church does not exist without a history of pain, risk involved. When God does a suddenly, and he did a suddenly in this church, a suddenly miracle, listen to me, then he requires you to walk through that miracle happening or creation of God and trust him in all things. You see, when you get a miracle or God speaks to you, it doesn't necessarily, it's going to lay it on a tablet. There's a lot of road between you and your accomplishment. So after much prayer, Pastor Karen and I did a lot of research in this area, and we figured out that Friday nights was the one thing that nobody had anything around here. So we started Friday night services. We started the whole way. Then after a while, everybody had Friday night services. God spoke very clearly and directly to build the church in this valley and call it Rock Church of Farmington Valley. And that was the birthing name of this church. We are part of the Rock Church system, Bishop Jimenez. We had every kind of exposure to every kind of prophet ministry around the world because you're connected with that church. When you were down there, they had buku ministry, ministering, training, discipling. On April 29th, 1990, we held a meeting at the Avon Old Farms Inn. I'm going to do this quickly for you. And I had 30 chairs set out because that's what God said. You said 30 chairs, and I'll fill them. So we put an advertisement in the paper. And at 7:30, we had two people. But at 7:35, we had 30 people, of which that man back there was there that meeting, John Penfield. And at that time, I gave you understand, I come in another business role too, so I gave a one-year plan, five-year plan, and I had the vision. And I spelled the vision all out, and one of them says, well, can we start church Sunday? I said, I don't even have a building. Well, let's take up a collection. I said, I didn't call you here for money. I called you here to plan a vision. I won't take an offering. I don't believe in that. And he says, well, if we take an offering with ourselves and give it to you, will you take it? I said, well, yeah. And that night we collected $1,503. I went back to the landlord of Eastview Drive, and he says, I'll give you one room for $450 a night, a month. And so on May 4th, my mother's birthday, we drove to church. Pastor Karen had her guitar. I had my Bible. That was it, and my notebook. Nothing else. We had no chairs. We had an empty room. No chairs. We had nothing. But faith, when you walk, when God says something, he'll always supply your need if you will believe it. So in comes the trucks. People come into church, brought truckload of chairs. One fellow said, I had an old pulpit from Full Gospel. I'm not going to ever use it again. Why don't you use this pulpit? And we did for several years. And that Sunday morning, River Valley, Rock Church of Farmington Valley, now River Valley Christian Center, was birthed. And I want you to understand that it was a risk. This doesn't sit here without risk. First thing we had to do is we had no money. So we put everything on the credit card, trusting God, using our credit card. We figured it was going to take us a while to do this, but within a couple months, we were living in Woodbury, Connecticut. Within a couple months, I want you to see the progression of what God has done with this church. I was full-time pastor at this church, with a full housing allowance and salary because God said. Very, very important for you to understand the history of this church because God birthed this church. Amen? Could you hit photo number 4? God birthed this church in one room. There's the pulpit. Someone brought flowers. We got a stand. Amen? And Pastor Karen led worship with her guitar. Could we have the next picture, please? And there's the first meeting. We have people in that one little room, which is the fellowship room back there now. Amen? So after a couple months, we grew, and we didn't know what to do. So we didn't have any. We had a small little sound system, but we didn't know where to go because we were outgrowing that one room. We couldn't really afford to go anywhere else. But there was an old, dirty warehouse behind us. Some of you are sitting in that warehouse now, okay? Old, dirty warehouse, small. But we went to the landlord, and he says, all right, I'll rent it to you for X amount of dollars a month. I said, okay, we'll take it. And we redid that warehouse and made it a sanctuary. And so we started our services there Sunday mornings and Friday nights. And all of a sudden, Sunday mornings, we couldn't fit anymore. So we ended up going to the Avon Middle School. Amen? And that's where I remember one service, Chris brought his whole family there. They remember that? Avon School. I prophesied, pull him out, prophesied over him. He's still here. Amen? Shortly after we needed that more space, we expanded again to the small warehouse, and then we went to the Avon Middle School for our Sunday morning services and maintained our Friday night services here. We would take down the entire sound system at that time. In fact, some of it is still upstairs. We would have an entire sound system, just like what you got here. Everything, drums, guitars, right, John? We would tear that down out of the small sanctuary, go up to the Avon School, set the entire thing up, have church service, tear it all down, brought it back here, set it up, because the pastor had this thing that church always had to be ready to be opened. So every time a service was open or done, we had to have the church service or the church facility ready for another service, because what if God called a revival at 2 o'clock on Tuesday night and we come in the churches and set up? And that's what we did. We learned that. We learned that. We then ran out of space again. I could go ahead of myself here. And so I want to just talk to you. So that was the progression. We had the small room, big sanctuary in back there. And then one day the landlord came in with a real estate agent and put the fear of God in me. And so I waited for him to leave. I went and talked to him. I said, what's going on? I mean, we're brand new. We can't afford to move right now. You know, I didn't say that to him. But he said, I got some business challenges, and I just need a smaller space. I said, well, wait a minute. What if we swap? We take this space. Amen? And you take our space, that little office back there. He said, done deal. And so, we looked at a dungy, old, dirty warehouse, and we produced this. Okay? That was the first sanctuary, and that was like that until God spoke to Pastor Mark to break down that other wall and expand it. And we've had Lamar Boschman, we've had international ministry in that sanctuary. We had some of the greatest ministries around coming in here, prophets from all over the world in that sanctuary. Still have the screen up there, yeah. And we had a total, because we all had the balcony open at that time, we had a total of different times about 300-350 people in this facility. And so God was good. So what has transpired? Let me close with this. What has transpired in the last years? We have ministered to this church. Please hear me, because this is your history. We have ministered to thousands, not hundreds, thousands of people who have come at one time or another and been a part of this church. We were known as a fix-it shop, still are. A hospital for healing and deliverance. And we'd have people come healing. In fact, your pastors are here because two people needed healing. Amen? Two people needed healing. And they came here. And the gentleman said, this is my last church I'm walking into. I'll never walk into a church again. And he walked in and he followed me in. And there was, I don't know why it just hit him. There was a piece of paper on the floor and I stopped and picked it up and put it in my pocket, because I don't like stuff laying around. And he said, when he saw that, he says, there's something about this place. And they became very strong parts of the church. And they brought a family called the Bosco family, who had a daughter. Amen. And eventually Mark came and they became part of this church. We trained up hundreds of young people. For years, we have had guest ministry in conferences from all over the United States and various parts of the world, right here, have been here. We were connected to Lamar Boschman and Worship Institute Ministries. We held the first regional worship institute in this area. We held it at the House of Restoration. It had 700 people there. because of what God has done here and our connections, there were several mission trips that have been done out of this year. There's also been some since Pastor Mark has taken over. We've been to El Salvador. We had a worship conference down there. Amen. My first missions trip. Never been on a mission trip before in my life. First one. We went down there. We had one meeting, and we all went back to the house. And the host of this says, you're a pastor, aren't you? He said, I said, yeah. He says, well, I want you to pastor this whole conference. That is, in fact, happened. We saw deliverances, healings. I mean, literally deliverances, healings. People set free. People falling under the power of God. For years, we have had, I backed up. All right, we've been connected to Lamar. We talked about that. Several mission trips. We've talked about that. We went to Argentina, Israel, Philippines, and Ukraine. Amen. And the Argentine, I don't have time to get into it, but sometime we'll talk to you about it. That was a bona fide revival that we were in. Ministered both financially and physically to our community and the town of Farmington. In fact, one time, the town manager came up to me, and he just says, "You're Pastor Chapman." I said, "Yeah." And he says, "I have never had a church pour into a town like you did." He says, "Thank you." Quite a witness, huh? Last part here, then I'll get into a couple of this. Through the giving fund, I'm guesstimating, Pastor Mark, but it was roughly 600,000 when you took over, so I'm going to guesstimate it's more up around. But we have given around $600,000 to $800,000 to missions, communities, churches, and various ministries around the world. Close to $800,000 this church has given. Have we affect everybody? Do we affect? Are we a huge thing, monster church? God doesn't care about your size. He cares about the substance of what you do through the church. The bigger question might be is, what has the Holy Spirit done spiritually in this church body in the ministry of the kingdom of God? God's word has and still is preached, taught straightforward by the guidance and inspiration of Holy Spirit. And if you don't have to, you don't have to be a spiritual giant to understand your pastor preaches what the Spirit of God gives him. Amen? And we did also. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, known throughout the region and the country as a place of worship where the Spirit of the Lord was. I would go to conferences and we would tell them our churches, oh, you're the one up in the anointing. I hear about that. That's where the worship and the Spirit of God's really moving. We used to hear that. Amen? We continue to engage with the Lord in intense, deep prayer. God sent us over the years prayer warriors, Dr. Olatidoya, and then we had God Shelter. We've had Garth Camp came, and it was a part of when we came when Mark comes, and then the mantle is passed to Chris, who is still faithfully praying for this church. For one day, various periods of church, from day one, various periods of this church, God has manifested his presence, his power, his anointing, and his glory. I say all these, and I want to understand. We're not comparing. We're not saying, oh, let's go back and have what was, because you can't ever go back and have what was. You only can have what is, the freshness of God's presence. We've had powerful moves of God in this place. We've had claims where we can't even stand. We've had multiple healings. We've had deliverances. We've had times where people just lay at this altar, and we finally had to just go home and leave them there. It was powerful. But you can't live on what was. God doesn't like that. He says, those that look back, put your hand to the plow, look back. You such are not fit for the kingdom of God. We don't look back, but I want you to know your history so you know this took place in this place. And if it did it once, what was that song? Do it again. Do it again, God. I'm believing the power of God is going to fall in this place like we've never seen it. A Lives have been transformed by those who are and have been a part of this house. And again, I wish I had time to tell you, because there's side stories in each one of them where Karen and I have literally experienced the supernatural power of God, literally. And I say this to you because I'm not braggadocious. I'm saying this to you is because I'm prophesying that this has happened to us, and it's Jesus that did it through us, and I'm giving you the testimony of Jesus, and I'm telling you, you can have the same thing if you want it. God has made and still is sovereign hand on this church body. He created this church body out of nothing. Out of nothing. And God's sovereign hand is still on it. Now, why do I know that? Because we had a guest ministry in here one day. His name was Mel Davis. He's like a father to me. And so anyway, we went out to dinner, and we're sitting there, Mel says, "Brother Al." I said, "What, Mel?" "Brother Al." I said, "Oh boy, here it comes." I knew something was coming. He says, "I want to know who that young blonde-haired kid and his petite wife is playing his guitar over on the side over there." I said, "Mark, Missy Taylor." He looked at me and Mark fire. He says, "That he and she is your Timothy." Now, this is important for you to understand because our guest speaker had, and he responded about Mark when I asked him, and he gave me that prophetic word. You have to understand, we already had a licensed minister ready on, in the, everything was on. We had, Pastor Karen and I don't go without knowing where we're going. And we had it all set. And one Friday night, everything changed. And that particular person, amen, he's a great guy, love him, decided that he needed to move on. And that's okay. The key here is, I want you to hear this, because this was 7 years, say 7 years, after I had my dinner with the prophet. 7 years. And I got on my hands and knees that night. I said, "God, what do we do now?" He says, "Go get the man I told you 7 years ago, because he's your Timothy." And 2 weeks later, we scared them half to death. I took them to my favorite restaurant, which was Cassiel's. Cassiel had the most awesome cream puff you've ever eaten. Took him to Cassiel's, and we sat down, and we had small talk. And, you know, Pastor Mark will only do small talk long enough, and then he just cuts to the chase, which I love about him. I said, "Okay, what's going on? Why are we?" I don't remember it exactly, but that's in essence what you said. And Pastor Gary and I said, "We want you two to take over the church." I just wish we should have that picture up there. It won't be much longer. I'm finishing up, but understand, we waited 1 year after that day. Didn't say one word to Pastor Mark and Missy, because I never want to force them into something that they weren't hearing God say. And then the prophet, Pastor Jim Cacuzzo, came up, and he was up here that weekend, and he said, "Let's all go out to breakfast together with Mark, Missy, and myself." And Jim had some words for him, and he made the decision. And so we brought Pastor Mark on staff. And I want you to hear this, because this is part of the supernatural. You got to hear this, because we brought Pastor Mark on staff, but I was not going to bring, one of the reasons I was hesitant, I was not going to bring this family on staff and give them a chintzy little salary and hope they make it. I don't believe in that. You're either going to pay the man for what they're worth, or you don't pay him. So we came up with a figure, the officers and trustees and myself, and it was a stretch for what we were. And so Pastor Mark came to our office one time because we were on. He says, "Let's just do this thing." I remember saying, "Let's just do this." He was working full time, and he's living in Torrington. He says, "Let's just do this." Now listen to me, church. Nobody knew the salary that we came up with except the officers and trustees. No one. Within 1 week after we hired Pastor Mark, in faith, we had an individual cut a check for his entire first year salary. Second year was half a check because we were progressing. Do you think God knew the destiny of this house? Do you know what you're sitting in? I went through all this, and I'm just, as you can tell, I'm scratching the surface because there are so many supernatural things that have happened in this place since we've come here on Eastview Drive. And by the way, go look up Eastview and see what it says in the Bible. Yeah. And so I close with this. After much miracles and signs and wonders, the reason Pastor Karen and I wanted to give a little bit of our testimony, again, we just scratched the surface, is I want you to understand that this just didn't happen. And oftentimes in our today's culture, we look at what's here and say, "Oh, it just happened." We never see the sacrifice, the risk. Most of you do not know what these two have given to be where they're sitting today. And I won't say it because there's things I've given I'll never say either, because it's not important. It was given unto the Lord. But we go forward. But I want to close with this statement. Because a journey is from beginning to end. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I live by faith. And Jesus said to me, "I am the author and the finisher of your faith." I exhort this house to move forward. Not day by day, and in every one of our individual lives, get out of your daily chaos and stop whining or wondering what's happening to you. And embrace God. I've been abased. We've been to a place where we had peanut butter and popcorn eat. That's all we had, and we never stopped praising God. We never lost our faith. We never doubted. We knew God called because God said. Where you go from here is up to you, to your obedience to what God's called. To what God has called this house to be. So a journey continues for all of us, each one of us. Look at your life as a journey. There is a beginning and the end. Start praising God for your upheaval. Thanking God for the chaos sometimes, because chaos produces character. Thank God for times you have no money and you don't know where you're going, but you lift your hands up and you give glory and honor to God. Because it builds faith and character. Give your life to Jesus. I can testify. Pastor Karen can testify. He will never let you down. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward for what lies ahead. What God has done in this church is not going to help you. It only builds the foundation to go forward. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Question. Have you ever asked Pastor Mark, Or even ask God, what is the high call of this church? Or are you just depending on him? The church is not the pastor, it's the body. And closing last scripture, and then I want to just pray for you. 1 Corinthians 9:24. You do not know that those who run, do you not know that those who run a race all run? One receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may attain it. I want to encourage every you, wherever you are in your walk of life. You got problems in your life, start praising Jesus, because that's what we did. And I can testify it works. I'm standing here to destroy every excuse you have for not serving God. Because if you want to tell me a story, I probably have been there. I probably have been there. I'm 79 years old. I've probably been there. But I'm telling you, can you get in your heart? Can you get in your soul? Have faith in Abba Father through the adoption as a son and daughter of God. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but his hand will always guide you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our lives, our journeys. I pray, Lord, for this house. I pray that the journey, as they go down the road and we go down the road, that, Father, it will be a glorious one. We lift up the pastors, Mark, and the wonderful wife, Missy, and the elders and the trustees and officers, that they will guide this house. But most of all, Father, I pray a fresh breath of Holy Spirit. We've experienced the miracles and signs and wonders in this house. Father, would you do it again? In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to do that. Thank you. I looked at the clock and said, maybe I shouldn't. But if we've touched any of you today, any of you, and you want to, yea, verily, rededicate your life to the kingdom of God, and you want us just to pray for you, if you want to start experiencing miracles and signs and wonders in your life and stop doubting every time God doesn't do something you want him to do. Because if he doesn't do something you want him to do, it's because he wants you to change to fit what he wants to do. Slip out of your seat and come up here and I'll pray for you. If this has at all touched you and you want to move on with God, slip out of your seat and let's pray. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. You want to move on with God? While we're waiting, I'll tell you a quick story. God wanted us to move into a house in Greenwood, Virginia one time. And we're living in a beautiful, beautiful home. And the house, where he wanted us to go wasn't beautiful. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And here's what he said to me. He said, son, you can stay where you are and I'll bless you. I'll bless you and bless you and bless you.